The allure of the vampire, the undead, sleeping by day, hunting its prey by night, sustaining itself on the blood of the living, is as current today as it was in Victorian times, we might think. It was Bram Stoker's creation, Count Dracula, that awakened us to the dark power of the undead. But in fact, it was another Irish writer, Joseph Sheridan Le Fanu, who was one of the first to introduce the vampire into literature. I'm joined now by Jarlath Killeen in our Where Do I Begin slot, where we hope tonight to unearth the world and work of Sheridan Le Fanu and to begin with his vampiric creation, A Woman Called Carmilla. But let's put Carmilla to the one side for just the time being. Jarlath, tell us about Sheridan Le Fanu, first of all.
Well, he's a Dubliner. He was born in Dominic Street in 1814. He was a Protestant. He had a fairly privileged early life, so they lived in the idyllic surroundings of the Phoenix Park, I think, where his father was the chaplain to the Royal Hibernian Military School. They moved to Abington in Limerick when his father became the rector there. And they had a bit of difficulty there because it was the middle of the Tide War. And there was a lot of tension between the local Catholic population and the Protestant system. So I don't think their time there was all that happy. He then went to Trinity College. He studied classics. He went to King's Inns then briefly and was called to the bar. But he got involved in journalism while he was a student, and journalism really sort of took his interest. And that's where when he began writing his stories, his Gothic stories, early stories, very folkloric, very influenced by his life in Limerick. And then he sort of establishes himself as one of the sensation novelists, I suppose, of the period.
Was it, you know, the specifics of 19th century Dublin and I suppose 19th century Protestant Dublin, 19th century Protestant Ireland, does that feed directly into the, you know, let's face it, large amount of Gothic literature that comes from that period in this country?
I think this is one of the, it's a very interesting question. I mean, so what I should say that while the most famous Irish Gothic writers are Irish Protestants. So we think of Sheridan Le Fanu, obviously. We think of Bram Stoker. We think of Oscar Wilde. We think of Charles Robert Maturin. In fact, you know, when you look closely, the Gothic is everywhere in Irish literature, and it crosses sectarian boundaries. So it is really quite, it can be found everywhere. But you have a sense of, in the 19th century, of this dwindling power of the Irish Protestant class, middle class. And the historian Roy Foster argues that as power dwindled for this class, they began investing in these kind of secretive, esoteric, occult worlds in which they could access other avenues of power. I think there's a certain persuasiveness about that particular kind of argument.
Right, let's get to Carmilla then. And 1871 to 1872 we're talking about here, so we're a bit ahead of the time. Bram Stoker, we didn't get Dracula until 1887. Yes. But give us a sense of what's going on in Carmilla. This is the original and the best, if you like, in terms of vampire lore and Gothic literature, Irish Gothic literature at any rate.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story. So it's set in Styria in Austria, and there's an English family who lived there. The father and his daughter were never given their surname. He is a widower, and they live in quite an isolated existence. His daughter Laura is now 19. There's an accident outside the front door, and this other teenage girl is deposited to stay with them for a while. Her mother goes on an emergency journey, which we're not really told is going on. And it slowly emerges that this girl, Carmilla, who's living with them now, is in fact a vampire. She begins draining the blood of Laura and also all these other village girls in the nearby village begin dropping dead. And eventually it's uncovered who she is, what she's doing, and they dispatch her at the end as is normal.
As has to happen
but
with
in the middle, there's these extraordinary moments of erotic desire and straightforward, I think, erotic desire between Laura and Carmilla. I think that's that's really what stands out for many readers. You know, this is 1871, 1872.
Yeah, well,
so it is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, let's listen to a clip from a 1989 TV adaptation of Carmilla. Meg Tilly is playing Carmilla here, and she's cautiously revealing some of her mysterious background to a very infatuated Laura, it has to be said, played here by Iona Skye.
You're wondering what we're doing, aren't you? What's happening between us? Oh, you're so young. Each day your sun rises and sets. And yet you never do anything. You never go anywhere. I may never see the sunrise, but I can take you to worlds beyond your dreams. I can teach you about the stars. We'll dance in their light for eternity. I want to see the world, but I'm afraid. Do you ever miss home? That was another lifetime. I'm much happier now. Oh, catch me if you can.
There you go, a clip from a 1989 TV adaptation of Sheridan Le Fanu's Carmilla. Meg Tilly as Carmilla, Laura played by Iona Skye. And Jarlath Killeen is with us this evening speaking and answering the question, where do I begin with Sheridan Le Fanu? And as you say, Jarlath, very much the same-sex desire at the very heart of that novel. We're into a different type of desire when it comes to your second choice for us, Uncle Silas, a more unsavoury type of desire here, I think it's safe to say.
This is probably his most important novel. It's one of the longest novels that he wrote. And it's essentially the novel about a vulnerable girl who's, again, there's a lot of orphaned figures in Le Fanu's fiction. This is a girl whose father has died, and she's sent to live with her very mysterious uncle, about whom there is a stain in his past. He's been accused of murder. And in an attempt to defend his family's name, her father leaves her to him in his will, despite the fact that it's almost certain that Uncle Silas is in fact a killer. And then Uncle Silas decides he's going to get his hands on Maud's money, and he decides it's in one of two ways: either she will marry his son, or she will be murdered by him, and as she's not interested in marrying her horrifying first cousin, he decides she's going to be dispatched. And it's one of the most important things about it is it has this locked room mystery. It's one of the first locked room mysteries. The room in which a crime has been committed. It seems impossible for the perpetrator to have entered or left the room. And one of the things is, how did this take place? And because it was developed from an earlier story that Le Fanu wrote in the 1830s, this is really possibly the first locked room mystery in literature.
Well, let's listen again. We have a clip from a film version of Uncle Silas here. Jean Simmons plays Caroline, and her admirer, Lord Ilbury, is about to ask Uncle Silas for her hand. But Uncle Silas, played by Derek De Mornay, has other ideas. The first voice you'll hear is Derek Bond playing Ilbury.
So it seems that Caroline needs safeguarding in your household, sir. And by heaven, she shall have it.
May I inquire, sir, whether you're in a position to safeguard anything? I mean, you cannot even regulate your own manners.
I beg your pardon, sir.
I think you would. Will you burst in on your host without warning or announcement?
You must forgive him, Uncle Silas. His anger made him impetuous.
Evidently. I thought you disliked impetuosity in your admirers. Now, perhaps you'll introduce me.
This is Lord Ilbury, whom I have spoken to you.
Have you, my dear? Oh, yes. May I ask your intentions, my lord, in constituting yourself her guardian? Curiously enough, I understood that was my privilege.
I find it difficult to answer you, sir, in Caroline's presence.
But it is my duty to press you, sir. She is my ward.
I have not yet spoken of my intentions.
We are somewhat boldly claiming to protect her. I think I'm entitled to inquire your age.
I'm 21, sir.
And she is 17. Come, come. Never mind what the future may hold. Her happiness then as now will be my most cherished item.
I'm gratified to hear you say so.
And I'm gratified that you are gratified so much for that. Shake hands, I beg.
What an uncle to have, Uncle Silas there, the titular character played by Derek De Mornay. We also heard Gene Simmons as Caroline and Derek Bond as Lord Richard Ilbury. Jarlath Killeen speaking to us about the work of Sheridan Le Fanu this evening. The third novel that you would send us to is Green Tea from 1871, Jarlath.
This is a short story. It is, I suppose, one of the most powerful short stories, Gothic short stories ever written. It's been admired by most of the major practitioners of the genre. In this story, the Reverend Jennings, who is a very mild-mannered, scholarly Anglican, begins to be haunted by a demonic monkey who follows him around everywhere, first encounters him on the bus, and begins to, you know, describe all kinds of evil things to him, encourages him to commit murder and... causing him to commit suicide. And Reverend Jennings says, there seems to be no reason why he's been haunted by this demonic figure. He goes to a metaphysical detective for some kind of help after he's gone to a load of doctors who don't seem to be able to cure him, who insist that there's a medical reason for this hallucination. The metaphysical doctor says he can cure him. But then he disappears. He just goes to contemplate the case, and he's out of contact. And in that one night where he's out of contact, Jennings is haunted by the monkey again, and he kills himself. One of the most powerful things about this story is that the explanations provided are so, I suppose, unsatisfactory. And the reader is left very much in this kind of hesitation between a natural and a supernatural explanation for the story. And story really leaves you in that sense of uneasiness about what you've just encountered, about right. whether this is a genuine supernatural figure or whether it's just some kind of symptom of the fact that Jennings he consumes green tea in huge quantities. So perhaps it's just a kind of hysterical symptom of the consumption of green tea. But it is an extraordinary story. It's unforgettable once you read it.
And maybe the short story is as good a place as any to start. But three great recommendations there from Jarlath Killeen then in terms of getting to know the work of Sheridan Le Fanu: Carmilla, Uncle Silas, and finally the story from 1871, Green Tea. That is our lot for this Tuesday evening. Leah Murphy and Paul Shields Research. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Sound supervision this evening was by Jamie Doyle. And tonight's programme was produced by Olin McGowan. Talk to you tomorrow night once again. Nulling the Man here on RT Radio 1 at 7.